The Africa Report.
It is 25 minutes past 9 o'clock this Saturday morning. We go to Zambia now to speak to the Regional Advocacy Manager for Southern Africa at WaterAids, Chilufya Chileshe. Chilufya, very good morning and welcome to the show, and thank you very much for joining us.
Hello, good morning.
Before we talk, I suppose, about the work that you do, I mean, WaterAid provides clean water, decent toilets and hygiene knowledge to people who don't have yet access to them. Let's try and understand the extent of the drought situation in Southern Africa. Cape Town is going through the most devastating drought in more than a century, and we are only 72 days away from what we're dubbing as day zero, where people will have to go in queue at collection points for water in order for them to obviously meet their basic needs. How devastating has a drought generally been in Southern Africa from your vantage point?
Okay, thank you. I think that, yeah, our hearts are with everybody in Cape Town at the moment. I think it's a very unfortunate situation we are going through. The drought has indeed hit most of Southern Africa. I mean, the extent, of course, in other parts is not as bad as you are experiencing it over in Cape Town. But we have had, for instance, in Lusaka in Zambia, several weeks with no proper rain, and there are genuine fears that we might go without good crops and that we might run out of decent water supply for most parts of the city. So there are some issues, of course, across the region. In Mozambique, we have seen the same with several parts of Maputo also going without rain for weeks and weeks this rainy season. So it is genuinely a Southern Africa problem, the drought, but of course Cape Town bearing the heaviest burden of it at the moment.
And the consequences of that are obviously reduced crops, which puts into the spotlight the issue of food security, but also hygiene and health issues will arise as a result of people not having access to regular clean water.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's one for WaterAid. At least those are our big fears, are that if people don't have access to decent toilets and that they don't have access to a clean water supply, of course they can't wash their hands. It makes their hands at critical times. It makes it a lot harder for them to manage good hygiene, bodily and otherwise, but also good food hygiene. So you need water for all of those things. And so those are our concerns. And the bigger problems we notice in higher density areas is even worse, because you find that because of density, their susceptibility to disease, waterborne disease particularly, is a lot higher. So we are seeing that in Zambia, Malawi and Mozambique at the moment, cholera outbreaks are ongoing, and it doesn't help that there's such a limited water supply in all of these locations at the moment. So those are some of the practical implications when you have to deal with disease at the same time as have such limited water supply.
Tell us then a little bit more about WaterAid and what you guys do.
Okay, so WaterAid was founded over 20 years ago now by the water industries in the UK when they came back from the United Nations declared decade on water. And this was because there was, at the time, a prevailing drought in Southern Africa. And so they realized that there were not enough technologies to help people address the imminent problems that had been created by the drought. And so they got together, the engineers in the UK from the utilities, and said, how do we help with the drought in Southern Africa? And that's how it started out. So now we work in across 37 countries on the globe, trying to provide access to clean water, toilets, as well as hygiene promotion. So our work is essentially to try and work with the most affected communities, as well as work with policymakers, planners, and others to ensure that they prioritize access to water sanitation, as well as hygiene education, and that it's adequately financed. But we find that very often that's not the case. So our struggle continues in that sense.
I was about to ask, what have you measured the impact of your work to have been in the areas that you're obviously trying to intervene?
Well, I mean, it's been a couple of things. So, of course, when we initially started to work in many of the communities, it was because of the drought. So the first responses were let's provide people easy access to clean, safe water. So we provided boreholes. And over time, we realized that those were not always sustainable ways of dealing with the problem. And I think, as you are seeing in Cape Town, you need a multiplicity of responses to deal with water stress situations. So you could access groundwater, but you also need to ensure that your water reservoirs are constantly resourced and that they are recharged adequately to be able to service growing populations. So those are some of the things we found and have had to adapt our responses over time. So we've measured our success on the basis, of course, the numbers of people we've been able to reach. There are not many in the larger scheme of things, but there have been significant numbers of disadvantaged, marginalized communities, people that could have not been reached had they been waiting to be reached by the conventional government means. And then we have also measured our success on the basis of how sustainable our approaches have been. So I told you the example of the boreholes. We still do them, but in many locations we are finding that because the groundwater is receding so much because of El Nino continued in Southern Africa, we've had to adapt our approaches. So how sustainable can our approaches be and how easy? Because in some instances, you can't use one-size-fits-all approaches to respond.
Where can people read up more about your organization and your efforts in the region?
Yeah, so they can definitely read up more. So if you just look at WaterAid on Twitter and our website by the same name, WaterAid, there'll be a lot that you'll find there telling you about the kind of work we are doing in Mozambique, in Malawi, in Zambia and Madagascar. And we've started a small program in Swaziland as well, giving access to water to many communities, promoting standpipes in communities that can't get household connections and in water stress situations, which I think is a measure you are seeing commonly now in Cape Town as a way of reaching masses. So you can find a lot of that, but also our work on promoting good sanitation, because this usually goes hand in hand with ensuring that people can maximize the very little water that we find is available in most communities, is that we have to make sure that it doesn't get contaminated because of poor sanitary practices, either by people defecating in the open or by having toilet systems that find their way into the water supply system. So those are some of the things you will find on our website detailing what we do in various countries, but also simple solutions that we have tried in several countries to respond to situations of water stress, as well as the needs of particular communities that have been marginalized for various reasons.
Chilufya Chilesha, thank you very much for your time this morning. Joining us on the line there from Zambia, she is the Regional Advocacy Manager for Southern Africa for an organization called WaterAid. And I certainly invite you to go and find them on the interweb and read up more about the work that they do, which is extraordinary. We will share their contact details on our social media platforms as well.